All right. G'day, Steeler Nation, and welcome to Behind the Steel Curtain. My name's Mark Davison. I'm your host today of Steelers Touch Down Under. And my co-host is Jeff here. We actually have Maddie's out today. He's out, you know, in the paddocks, wrangling up all the kangaroos. He's a little bit too busy. So, Jeff, mate, how's it going? What's going on? You're almost like you're our third Australian now, really.
I'm on. If I get honorary Australian status, I'll do this show all the time.
Yeah, well, I still with the idea with around the twist, like that's something I didn't think American people would know anything about. Oh, and for the listeners out there and the YouTube live guys, welcome everyone. Around the twist is just an odd show that would have, you know, weird Australian unique ideas, and some of it was a bit scary. There was one little bit where a fox was hanging upside down, and that was in the outhouse or the danny, and that scared the living daylights out of these kids, and the kids had to investigate it. It was all quite strange. And when you're 12 years old watching that show, you kind of think back, that shouldn't have been a show at all. But yeah, jumping in today. So, you know, who we got a live chat here? We've got Lumberzak. Oh, we got quite a few now. I love when this show starts, Jeff. I don't know about when you do your shows as well. As soon as you start the show, 46, 45 people come into the live chat, and we're all just here ready to talk Steelers football. So we have Chad, John, Jeff, Wes, Tyler, Mike. Yes, Mike, I do live in Australia, but Jeff, where do you live?
I live just north of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so he's pretty far from Australia. Yeah. And I'm also it's 9 a.m. where I'm from now. So, and I believe, what time is it there, Jeff, over in America?
It is 7 p.m.
So yeah, there's what, 14-hour difference of, you know, of fandom here. Yeah, so I today's show, I really just wanted to crack in and get Jeff's idea on certain things of where the Steelers like franchise is sitting. Me and Maddie talked about it last week. And like, I'm not a big draft guy, and I think we've been talking about the draft almost, it feels like, a year now. So Jeff, with the Steelers, like in the title of the theme show today is which player will step up in 2021 and show Steeler fans like you and myself and everyone in the live chat that the standard is the standard. So who's going to step up? And we'll go through offense, defense, and then special teams. And I'll give you my take after your take as well. So firstly, who's that guy? And it can be a draft pick. It can be Big Ben. It maybe even be a coach. Or who's the guy on offense that's going to lead the team to get some more wins or push us past the playoffs? Who's the guy on offense?
Well, you brought coach into it, so that makes it easier for me. It's Matt Canada. I've kind of said this a few times. I don't know if I'm at the beating a dead horse stage yet of this one, but in 2003, the Steelers were the worst run team in the NFL, and in 2004, they were one of the best. They changed one offensive lineman. They brought in an old Deuce Staley, and that's it. They changed the scheme. They changed the focus, and they ran the ball. And good things happen. So for me, Matt Canada, if he can get in there and change the mentality on offense, change the scheme, get the offensive line, you know, run block first, pass block second, we could see that kind of turnaround and really set up Ben Roethlisberger for another Super Bowl win, because the times he's won, he's had, you know, a run game, or he's had a great defense and at least a run game that was viable, you know, when 2010, they had it again. But when they don't have it, the team doesn't win in the playoffs. They just can't do it. You can't lay everything on Ben Roethlisberger. So Matt Canada, it's a big task. I hope he does it.
So you're saying with the run game, and it's going to be the offensive guy is going to be the new fresh face in Canada. Now, when you say run the ball, how are we using just a lead back like we did with Connor, or are we using a variant amount of people in that running back position, say, if we use Snell, McFarland, those guys, and we might get someone in the draft, or we might pick up a free agent, how many people in that backfield does it take to move this Steelers team beyond 2 yards? Because, like, let's be like, I don't know about you, and I brought this up in the podcast a few weeks ago. Coming 30 seconds in the rush game is abysmal. It's something you cannot do. Like, what are your thoughts on the 32nd, and how do we? What do you do? Like, honestly, it boggles my mind thinking about that placement of 32nd.
Yeah, and I'll go back to through five games. A third of the way into the season, they were a top 10 run team. I mean, we dropped from top 10 to the worst in 11 games. It's incredible how bad the run game was for the Steelers for two-thirds of the season. It was absolutely terrible. And, it was awful to see. And you saw it when teams just were selling out on the pass. Linebackers, they were dropping linebackers back farther than they normally were to sit on those slants to Chase Claypool, those post routes. And they were taking away Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool's best routes with linebackers because they didn't need to come up and defend the run. They didn't need them. They could just defend the run and have those guys play back. And that just is killer. When the linebackers are playing back and you still can't run the ball, that's just awful. And to me, it's as much scheme as it was performance. Yeah, the offensive line was injured, and the more injuries the offensive line had, the worse the run game was. But also, the more we got into, you know, Ben Roethlisberger in shotgun with three wide receivers, a tight end in line, and Eric Ebron, and one running back, and we're going to hand off, and he's going to run, you know, past Roethlisberger off tackle every single time. The run game got predictable, and teams were just sitting on it. They knew how to sit on the jet sweep, and there was just nothing there. We ran only a few run plays, and none of them worked because teams were used to them. So the scheme really, we can get a good coordinated run game going and run the pass offense off of that instead of, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is our quarterback. He can throw 50 times, and then if teams are scared enough of him, we can slip some runs in there. You can't do it like that.
So with our run game, did you think? Now, I'm trying, like, as a Steeler fan, I've been watching the game for a long time, and I try and, you know, because we don't really play it here in Australia, and all I really see and how I figure the game out is on TV, so it's only on that what you see is what you get kind of mentality. Now, with the run game, were the defenses bringing down their safeties and adding an extra man in the box and trying to really, you know, to figure us out and then say, well, they're going to run it, and we've got enough people there that we can stop them? Like, how did that work? How did the defenses, do you think, they changed their mentality where it did, they already knew what play was coming, right? To a certain extent. Would that be correct?
Yeah, the offense was getting kind of predictable, not exact play, but they knew what to fear. And they did not fear the deep ball. When the offensive line was getting worse, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't holding the ball long enough for deep balls to go out there because he was taking hits when he did. And if he's taking hits, he's leaving the game. Like, he's old enough. He can't be taking those hits. So once they knew that, it wasn't really safeties in the box. It was linebackers were backing up, safeties were coming forward, and they were really choking off those intermediate pass routes. And that's why you saw our offense devolve into, like, quick, you know, 5-yard turnaround routes from Eric Ebron and Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster, because they knew that's all we could throw. They knew Ben Roethlisberger was gonna get rid of the ball quick. And the one time we saw them get away from that was the win against late in the season, was the win against Indianapolis, where in the second half, Ben Roethlisberger realized, hey, you know what? The line's actually protecting me against a pretty good pass rush. And he started taking shots downfield, and the Steelers won that game. That's really it. The offensive line falling apart really crushed the passing game, and that crushed the last bits of the run game because people just knew. They just knew you don't have to have people deep. You can have people intermediate. And then as soon as the running back gets going, it's over.
I tell you what for me might be the most frustrating part, and hopefully this might answer your question with the guy who's going to change it up will be Matt Canada. Now, the most frustrating part for me as a fan, I know for others out there in Steeler Nation all around the world, is that what happened and why do you think the Steelers on the offensive coordinator, Randy Fichtner, he would consistently just use those first 5 to 10 plays, and they're always the same. It didn't. Nothing ever happened where I think we always went 3 and out. We got a run. We did a screen pass. We went backwards, and nothing really came out of that mentality. And it seemed to frustrate me the most when you have the whole week, you have 1 week to prepare for this team, and you come out with a similar game plan to last week. And it frustrated me even more when the game plan last week worked and they used that again and they already figured you out and were like, well, where are you meant to go? So I think, like, do you think there'll be a massive difference between Matt Canada coming out being more creative and not going 0-3? And because there's no, sometimes there wasn't even a point to take possession or go down and put 7 on the board. What's the point if you can't move that ball 10 yards and get a first down? So will Matt Canada have a better go, do you think, than Finkner?
Yeah, actually, that's where you're talking about our scripted plays. That's a really good point. Because Randy Fichtner's whole idea of offense, he talked about all season, you know, take what the defense gives you. So those first series of plays were a bunch of different things to test. Okay, how are they going to defend this play? How are they going to defend these types of routes? How are they going to defend these types of runs? And then we'll see what the defense is going to give us, and we'll run plays after that based on that. Randy Fichtner's scripted plays were just a basic set of, like, how are you going to defend these different things? That's all he wanted to see. But the problem was the whole strategy of take what the defense gives you failed. Defense has figured out how to give us what they want. Like, you're basically saying, hey, how do you want us to play football today? You know, and if you ask your opponent, how do you want us to play football today? The answer they give you isn't going to be a good one for you to win. You know, they're going to set you up to lose. That's what their goal on defense is. If you took Dick LeBeau's defense and you said, we'll just take what he gives you. Well, yeah, you're taking 2-yard routes. You're not running the ball. You're taking 2-yard routes and you're not going to win. So, like, you couldn't do that. You have to find ways to attack what the defense has, not just take what they give you. So for me, Matt Canada is exactly the right guy to follow this, because in college, he was the guy that would set up a defense and then exploit it. Like, he'd be like, we're going to get you working hard to defend this thing, and we're going to attack you somewhere else. We are going to dictate to you what you're going to do through how we attack you. So for me, I hope Matt Canada is able to do what he did in college in the NFL, because he attacks defenses instead of sitting around and saying, you know, defense, what are you going to allow us to do? What can we do today? You know, like some kid asking their parents, can I play on my computer today? You know what? No, this is the NFL. Go take it. You know, punch your parents. No, I'm not going there. Never mind. I'll stop.
So to your point with Matt Canada, so that kind of seems to me that Matt Canada's offense is playing chess and Randy Fichtner was late to playing checkers. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he just didn't. Like,
do you play chess at all? If you ever play someone, I had a cousin whose strategy to play people with chess was just to do whatever move the other person did. That's Randy Fichtner's offense. He's watching what you do, and then he's just doing the same thing. And if you don't really know what you're doing, you're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you even doing? But if you know chess at all, you're like, okay, kid, now I'm just going to destroy you. Like, I know how to set you up. That's Randy Fichtner's offense, and that's why he got fired.
To that point, I think with Randy Fichtner, the only way, I guess, that if you show your cards and you say same plays, the only way that in my mentality how that really works is if you execute the play and you're the stronger Steeler versus the Raven on the field, right? You're the stronger hat in the hat. We're going to run this ball here. You know you're getting it, but we're going to execute our play and win. But what I do like about your point with Matt Canada, so you're saying that he might set up a few plays to where he's going to invite the defense into their living room, and they're going to have that show them, we're going to get this today. And he might already have a counteracted plan to exploit that. That's what I love, and that's what I hope he would do. Because could you imagine that if he sets, you know, terminology phases me here, but if you bring people in, set up the screens and all those kind of halfback things, next minute, they're all coming in and he goes 5 wide and he's playing. He's still more of a passing game today. So you think Matt Canada's going to be a bit more imaginative on that side, eh?
Oh, yeah. I really hope. I mean, we haven't seen him really call a game. And the one scary thing was week 17, he had the headset on. He had the sheet. It looked like he was calling plays from the fan perspective on television. It looked like Matt Canada was actually calling the plays for Mason Rudolph in week 17, but they ran the same stuff. And I was looking, I'm like, I was waiting. I kept waiting to be like, come on, Matt, show us something, you know? But that wasn't his offense to install, I guess. But this year, hopefully, yeah, if we get a regular preseason, especially if we get a regular offseason, they get a training camp together at St. Vincent like Art Rooney wants. If they get that time, he gets that time to work in, you know, work with Ben, work with the offensive line, do all that stuff. I think it could be really, really something. The other thing is, the other side of that is the offensive line, because that's going to really, really tie it together. We've got Adrian Clem, the new offensive line coach. You know, Dotson's going to be starting. We all loved what he did last season. Hopefully David DeCastro is healthy, because those guards are going to have to anchor the line. I'd love for Zach Banner to be back. He was a good run blocker. And then hopefully we address the center position, because BJ Finney's a good, really good backup. He is exactly the guy you want as your second string, but he's not the guy you want as your starter.
What are your thoughts, Jeff, on, say, you know, sometimes you hear this in the NFL where coaches might be saving their best plays or the unique sets or things of that nature for big playoff games or big opportunities to verse rivals. What are your thoughts if Matt Canada has these, like, crazy ideas to use the ball and actually have a chance to win game? Do you just do you go out and use those plays straight up, or are you saving them for special occasions? Have you heard about that idea before?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think Matt Canada is that guy who has, like, all right, here's my book of like 15 really cool plays that I need to save. Right. He's the way his offense works, the way he adapts to things. I think he's a guy who can look at, you know, okay, we did this. This is how they're going to adapt to that. And then can we show them that, but hit them somewhere else? You know, like he's a constantly evolving counterpuncher. And that's what you want as an offensive play caller. You want a guy who's like, all right, I'm going to throw you a good punch. And as soon as you start adapting to that punch, I got a counter for it. And when you adapt to that, I've got a counter for that. And when you adapt to that, I'll draw stuff up. We'll counter it, you know, we'll figure it out, and we'll keep attacking where you can't, you know, when you try to defend our strengths, we're going to attack where you're weak.
Well, that's what I kind of like, because even like as a businessman, you're not going to save you, you know, this plan is going to make me money in, say, 3 years' time. If you want to be a successful businessman or an idea or a creative person like that, you're gonna keep developing plays and ideas and then keep everyone guessing in the league. And we know that that didn't happen with Finkner, and that's why I bring it back to that 30-second running game. And it just made you feel like, as a fan, when you wear the jerseys, and today I'm wearing Troy Polamalu as always, and he actually retired today, I saw on Facebook, or over actually tomorrow might be for you guys. I don't know how that works. But yeah, you wanted the coaches to, I don't know, use the best play, exploit the player. And from my knowledge, and I know, you've got to exploit that player on the defense who's the weakest person. It's your strongest person against their weakest person. If their linebacker's weak, exploit him. Maybe use some motion and get some tight ends over the middle and really, you know, get at him. You've seen it when the Patriots have done it to us. Mm-hmm. We're losing by 17 points and Edelman was wide open. You're like, and then people watch the game, they're like, oh, you're going to win. You're like, I don't think so. You can just kind of see that game. It's similar to chess again. Maybe the game is already over. You've still got pawns on the field or players on the field, but Bill Belichick or whoever is already in front of you is dictating that game all over the field. And that's something I think with this culture and what I'm trying to get at with this whole theme today, we haven't really had that like in the last, I think, 5 years. Is that due to think that they're into a lack of a better word, being boring on the offense?
Well, okay, I want to, because mostly yes, but I want to give a caveat there, because what you're talking about, like how to attack linebackers and things. If you go back to 2019, Devlin Hodges starts against the Los Angeles Chargers, right? They had linebackers who couldn't pass cover. And if you look at what the Steelers did, they went straight after those linebackers with the running backs. And it was that game where I sat there, I'm like, well, maybe Randy Feuchner isn't bad. You know, maybe this is Ben. Maybe Ben's just not, you know, allowing the offense to be different and creative. But then 2020 rolls around. Even late 2019, the offense was predictable. They couldn't get anything going. 2020, Ben comes in. You have that good start, but they couldn't get like Canada's motions and things that they were using later. They really couldn't integrate them well. So I don't know if that's purely Randy Feuchner. I don't know if that's the Randy Feuchner with Ben Roethlisberger together. I don't know if it's a learning curve. They didn't have much of an offseason last year. Obviously, they talked about, Ben Roethlisberger talked about, Canada worked with the run game. You know, he didn't work much with the passing game in the offseason. They're trying to add Matt Canada's influence to the passing game, like piece by piece as the season went on, and it just didn't work. You can't do that. You're basically running two separate offenses. You had a different offense for a run game than you did for a passing game, and it just became obvious. Teams could pick that up. So I don't know fully if it's we got rid of Andy Fichtner, we got rid of the boring, or if this is we've got to get through Ben Roethlisberger's learning curve, like we did with Todd Haley's offense, where his first season under Todd Haley wasn't that great, but then it kept getting better after that as Ben Roethlisberger got more comfortable with the offense. So that's kind of the caveat there. That's the worrisome thing is how fast can Ben pick this up? And it's not just Ben's willingness either. Ben Roethlisberger isn't a quarterback who thinks on the field. He's a guy who's at his best when he's just out there relaxed and playing. So it's not just, does he know the offense? No, he's got to have enough experience in the offense, has to know what he's doing enough that he doesn't have to think about it. Because when he's out there thinking, it's bad. It just takes him out of his game. There are games you can tell. He's like thinking, okay, I'm going here. I'm looking at that. And now I'm going, and you'll see him just, you're like, what is he looking at? You're looking at, you watch the film. You're like, who is he looking at? Is he's switching targets, but it doesn't make sense. And then he's throwing a ball and you're like, there was a guy open over here, but you could tell he's in his head and he's thinking and he's not just playing. He's one of those guys that when he just relaxes and plays, he's fantastic. But that does mean he's got a longer learning curve. So we'll see what he does. He got some of that out of his system last year. And he, by the end of the season, like I wrote a piece about his terrible RPOs early in the season, how bad they were. Yeah. RPOs made a comeback late in the season and they weren't bad. They get took a half a season of work on it and then they weren't bad. So there's some of that offense that is already in Ben Roethlisberger's, you know, mind and in his toolkit. Just how much can they build on that and how quickly can they build on that? That's the big question.
I think it's just tough for Ben when Ben does overthink, and it's for some reason throughout his whole career, and he's one of the best, right? He's been in the NFL Absolutely. For 17 years. He is the best, no matter how much you love him or hate him. I know a certain a lot of people do dislike Ben. We want him to move on. But my only criticism, to a little extent, but you can wear with it because we have been a great franchise, and I think in the future we will be. This is setting up us for success. The only criticism I have is when we get down to the 10-yard line, 15-yard line, he always seems there's a big, I don't know what the stat is, but there's a high percentage that he throws an interception there, and you've got to walk away the points, and that might, you know, cost you a game, and I'm not too sure. But on the other side, he can still sling it 60 yards, get you a touchdown and go three touchdowns or get 400 yards. So it's like he's not a quarterback that, you know, stinks. It's just that there's certain times, and maybe that just comes with life anyway. You can't always be perfect. But I know when you're down in the red zone, you just want to come away with points sometimes as well. Before we go to a break, we might jump into a bit of defense. And on the other side of part two, we might do defense or special teams as well. But defense, Jeff, who's that guy in the locker room now? You said Canada for offense. Who's the guy on the defense that's got to take some ownership and get us some wins in 2021 and beat the Browns in the playoffs?
Oh, Browns. My big one is Devin Bush. I think he was starting to take that reign. He was starting to take the reins and be that guy in 2020. And then he was out. He really is a guy that can set the tone and change the game defensively. We saw this defense hold on and still be really good with Vince Williams and Robert Spillane. Those two at linebacker, and the defense was still good. It wasn't until, you know, Bud Dupree goes down and then Joe Hayden goes down. It wasn't until they lost other pieces that the defense really struggled. But Devin Bush brings them to a different level where they can be more aggressive. Players, like, he is so big on the field. He covers such a large area of the field that he makes everything for everyone easier. Saying that, though, I don't want to discount the safeties. Because Minkah Fitzpatrick and Terrell Edmonds have been getting better. 2019, they were thrown together. They had no preseason, nothing. They were learning each other on the fly, how to play with each other. 2020, they were fabulous. Those two were really good together last season. A major strength of the team. 2021, they could really take a step up and just be a nightmare for opposing defenses. And I also don't want to sell short the defensive line because it's the Steelers. Everything starts with that line.
Wait, I said one guy. You're going to name the whole
team. I know. I just don't want people to think I'm shorting it. Devin Bush is my guy, but that's because he wasn't here last season, right? He wasn't here for most of last season. That doesn't mean like he's the best player out there. Like the defensive line, the safeties are big. I don't want to act like I'm discounting them. And it's the same. Don't think I'm saying Ben Roethlisberger isn't a great quarterback when I say that he, you know, is at his best when he doesn't have to think. He is at his best when he is just making plays. But he still can think. He's not like he's dumb. You know, he can still think. He can still make the plays. But he is at his best when he knows it so well he doesn't have to think anymore.
Well, that's what I like about our defense, and actually throughout the years, and why I'm a massive Steelers fan, and a lot of us are in the live chat. And it actually, for this game, for me watching American football, is when I was growing up, when I was little, remember the Titans, you know, films like that, and just the crunching tackles. It was always about defense. Like, I'd love to see defense really warp someone. I'd love to see an interception. I'd love to see a sack. I'd love to see a forced fumble, big hit, James Harrison. And for me, the guy on the defense this year, and I think we've had a great defense the last few years. It's just that in certain games we didn't show up or we weren't ready, and that might be coaching, that might be something else. But my guy is the same. When I wrote it down this morning, my guy is Devin Bush as well. When he went out, the team just wasn't the same. You know, you've got your guys on the edge, and we could almost name everyone on the team, TJ Watt, Highsmith. But Bush being that leader and maybe having someone next to him, and if he can really communicate to the offense like Vinny Williams did and really step up, he I don't know where he's going to go, but he has a pretty bright future for us because he's super fast. Like, yeah. And if he can run around the field and get things done, and if it's a third and 12, when he says to the mates, the boys in the field, let's hammer this now, and you know, and then once they're off on the sidelines and he's cheering, I want someone like that. And I think Bush has that big, you know, that mentality to do that. Like, I think TJ Watt is great, but it's always good to see a leader like at the middle linebacker position who can see most of the field and let TJ just do his thing, be a lone wolf out there. Let him get three sacks. But Bush needs to be that leader on the defense. And like him coming into, it's his third season. That's correct, isn't it?
Yep. Third season.
Yep. So third season. Do you see him having like a breakout year? How do you even count that with last year with the injury?
Yeah, I think it could be a breakout season. Obviously, his first season was a dang good season. And in the second season, he took on a ton or more responsibility. So his stats were down. But if you watch the film, he was a better player. He was a better player. He just wasn't the guy collecting stats. That wasn't his job out there. So for his third season, I can't wait to see what they do with him. I like some of the things they were doing on defense. I've talked about before, but there were plays you're just like, I sent one to Kevin Smith, and I was like, what is Devin Bush doing here? And Devin Bush is like, and Kevin comes back to me, and he's like, this is what I think he's doing. He gave me an answer, and he's like, but that doesn't make sense. Why would you ask a linebacker to do all that? Why would you ask a linebacker to like cover like that? That's crazy. And I'm like, that's what I was thinking. Like, he's doing stuff that linebackers just don't do. The Steelers were asking him basically to be like a Keekly. Like, you know, like one of those like elite, you know, back, Brooks back in the day for Tampa Bay, one of those linebackers that just do things linebackers can't do. And the Steelers were asking him to do that in his second season. And he was doing pretty well at it. He was actually doing pretty darn well at it. So we'll see where he ends up. The sky is the limit for that guy.
Well, with that point, and just before we go to break, there's one more question for the defense and for Bush. We both agree he's going to be that guy in the locker room. Will he have the intuition like a Troy Polamalu, and like you said, just do certain things where it's not, you can't coach that, you know, read a play that no one really thought about? What do you think that in development he's going to turn into that kind of player? Like, no one's Troy, but Bush does seem like a special talent and how fast he is, and he's gritty. Like, when I watched him play, he's not like the biggest man, he's not like that high or whatever. But he seems to tackle them hard, and he seems to be like, come on, run at me. This is my game. What do you think? Do you think he's got Troy elements in him?
I'd go away from Troy. I can't compare people to Troy. Ryan Shazier was actually a little more Troy Polamalu as a linebacker than Devin Bush is. Devin Bush to this day reminds me of Ray Lewis. He's like a Ray Lewis for the modern game. He's not as big. He's not as downhill. I'm going to throw your fullback on the ground and tackle your running back and probably kick your quarterback in the face on my way doing it. Like, he's not that guy. He's more modern era football where you have to be much more active in coverage. But he, to me, is kind of that Ray Lewis person, that solid presence in the middle that you suddenly notice he's been dominating a game. Like, it doesn't, like, unless people are saying, look at Ray Lewis. You don't really notice him as much. He's not making splash plays. He's not making all that, but he's just consistently in the right position, consistently where the offense doesn't want him to be. And he's just messing everything up. That's Devin Bush.
I think I even told a few chapters back on the podcast how when I went to Houston, I had Ray Lewis tackle me or, you know, nudge my shoulder. And I was like, this is unreal when I was on TV. And that was, you know, quite crazy. And when you see these blokes, for me, like, I'm 6'2". I don't know. We guys do pounds. Like, I'm 6'2", 90 kilos. Not the biggest bloke. But when Ray Lewis was next to me, they're just massive. They're just massive human beings. And as he walked past me, he gave me a shoulder budge, and I went, I'd probably pay money to get tackled by one of these blokes, to be honest. It's quite weird. With that note, we might wrap up part one. So if you're on the audio side, if you know listening around the world, just make sure you click part two. If you're on YouTube, we're going to crack into Slinging and Slang in part two. And just more of this culture. I want to see what Jeff's idea around the Steelers and how we're going to transition a success from Ben into the future. So stick around for part two in just a few moments.